Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning. It's Emily Rowell here. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Atlanta Legal Experts Radio Show. I am Emily Rowell, as I said, with attorneyofficespace.com. We also have Rich Casanova with Buckhead Business Radio X in the background, working as a producer engineer. Our special guests today are Jeff Sheehan with Sheehan Marketing Strategies. Welcome.
Thank you.
We also have Wendy Ellen with Momentum. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
And Star Gerard's in the background with U.S. Legal Support. She is observing, and she might also pitch in at the end a little bit. So the legal experts today are not necessarily attorneys, but have a dynamic history of helping attorneys. So we'll be discussing how they can and have helped the legal world. And stay tuned, because we're going to talk about how multitasking may really not be the way we should live. So listen in and stay tuned for that. So this is exciting. Jeff, welcome.
Well, thank you.
Yes, and you've actually been on Business Radio X.
Yes, I have a few times.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you being here. I'm going to go ahead and start with your bio. With over 30 years of high-tech global sales, marketing, and advertising experience, marketing to many Fortune 500 companies, including Intel and Apple Computer, as well as many others, Jeff is now a marketing consultant and job search mentor. He is also the co-author of the just-released book, Hired, Paths to Employment in the Social Media Era. And that's at hiredthebook.com, and has been repeatedly recognized as one of the top people in the world to follow on Twitter for social media, marketing, and sales. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm going to go ahead and read Wendy Ellen with Momentum. I'm going to read her bio as well. Thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
Wendy Ellen is a living example of what it takes to be organized and successful in business and in life. As founder and president of Momentum, she has developed simple, street-smart tools and techniques to help even the most disorganized people get more life out of life through a variety of organizational systems, tools, and techniques. She spent 20-plus years in corporate America, only to learn that most people were working hard while she was working smart. It was when she left to start her own business that she realized she had a gift for sharing her secrets for managing your life in a way that can serve you well, not defeat you. Wendy has helped attorneys all over the country set up easy systems for getting control of their work and their life so that they do not only love what they do, they finally love the way they do it. Her book, Enough is Enough, Get Control of Your Stuff, One Woman's Insight to an Organized Life. So we're going to start with Jeff and ask Jeff a couple questions on how the heck has he helped some legal experts in the legal world?
I think one of the things, right now, the whole environment has changed dramatically. It's become extremely competitive. There are an abundance of attorneys out there in all walks of life, all disciplines, and they have to go out and they have to sell themselves. They have to market themselves, unlike any other period, perhaps, in the history of the legal profession. Mm-hmm. So now most of them, there's a myriad of social media tools out there and that they can use as part of the sales process. But more importantly, what is the best way to do it and the best way to become more productive in doing it? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what you can't do is you can waste all kinds of time and get nowhere. Right. I think Wendy will probably elaborate further with regard to productivity and what you really have to do to enhance yourself in that regard. But even in the social media arena, you have to be very, very careful with what you do. And one of the tools that certainly that I recommend and I'm a strong proponent of is LinkedIn. With 300 million plus people on LinkedIn, every attorney should be on LinkedIn, should have a well-developed profile. And you'd be surprised at the number of attorneys out there, even with some of the largest firms, their profiles really pitiful.
Outdated.
Not even outdated. They just have a profile, but there's no one home.
Right.
There's no professional photo. There's gotcha. No value proposition. There's no summary. They don't list their experience. They don't list what they're actually doing. What value do they bring to the client? Mm-hmm. At a minimum, just from an inbound marketing perspective, that they should have that. And an awful lot of them aren't doing that. I don't know if it's because of the fact that they perceive it as not something that's going to be useful to the business. They don't have the time, what right. the issue is in general, but they're just not doing it.
So what is social selling and what relevance does it have in the legal market?
Well, basically, social selling, I think, is just an evolution in the sales process. It's incorporating social media tools within the sales process itself. So okay. what you can do is by using tools like LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, Google+, and the Pinterest, Instagram, and the others, you can actually, before you meet with someone, completely vet them. So you have a total understanding of who you're meeting with. So if you go to a meeting, you pick certain people that you want to speak to that's going to help your business. Mm-hmm. And you can really have a firm understanding of who they are, what they represent, where they're going, and the why of their business. And so by having that, when you talk to them at a meeting, that you have a clear, you have something to really talk to them about. Mm-hmm. It's not just say hi, hello, whatever. You right. can clearly articulate what you have that may be able to solve the problems that they have with regard to their particular business.
And I remember when you had actually introduced me through LinkedIn to somebody, you had saved my whole LinkedIn profile. And I was like, oh my gosh, because I hadn't updated it in so long. So it made me go back and update it because that's like, it's really nice. It's like a resume.
Right. It's like a resume. And one of the things that I effectively, and a lot of people do, is they use so-called three-way introductions. And that's what I did in your particular case, Emily, where what I did is I generated an email introducing you and the other person to one another, and I downloaded their LinkedIn profiles into PDF format and attached them to the actual email itself. Mm-hmm. I provided all the contact information and why the two parties should really get in touch with one another because of the fact that there's some business synergy in there that both can help one another out with.
Right. What is the number one mistake law firms are now making in marketing their business?
I think, again, it's the LinkedIn positioning
okay.
with regard to it, because the vast majority of people in business are on LinkedIn.
Do you think a lot of them are really just busy and just don't have the time to do it?
They're busy. They don't make the time. They
right.
they have to make the time, though, to be on there because of the fact that it's really where the potential pool of referrals and pool of potential clients is.
Okay. What do you think law firms could immediately do to enhance their efforts?
Again, for instance, there are a number of ways. One, as we talked earlier about SEO, making sure that their uh-huh. website and that is up to date and has SEO capabilities. The other thing is the LinkedIn profiles for each and every associate, as well as the firm itself, Google+ pages for the respective associates, and you know, taking advantage of those particular avenues to really clearly position the particular firms.
So what would you see in the future for law firm marketing?
I see them doing more and more of that. Mm-hmm. I also see more of the associates going out and actually speaking to Rotary Clubs, Kiwanis groups, other business groups out there because of the fact that it helps establish credibility and awareness for those particular associates as well as the firm itself. You'll find, if you go to a lot of these meetings, very few attorneys speak. Very few attorneys are Toastmasters. Very few attorneys are out there really engaged in the community
right.
In a number of things. The other thing is I find that very few attorneys volunteer. I'm involved in a number of philanthropic causes, mm-hmm. and very few attorneys volunteer. They have to become more aggressive as far as their volunteer activities as well.
Okay. And they are starting to network more. I've seen them more like in the various networking and referral organizations as well. So I think they're starting to realize that that's really important for them.
It's critical for them.
And especially attorneys to attorneys. They refer each other.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I think that if someone needs an attorney, the first person they're going to ask is an attorney that they know. Who do you know that can represent me in a particular area? And
right.
that person will generally provide a list of individuals who they feel comfortable in working with. And that's the best way in so many businesses with regard to referrals and generating additional business.
So what is one thing that they have to be careful of?
Just, first of all, whatever they put out there, make sure that it's clean. Mm-hmm. No typos, no grammatical errors and whatever, because of the fact that people really will discount your credibility if you have those on there. Then don't get overloaded. Pick your poisons within social media. Is again, I advocate that LinkedIn. The other thing is watch out for so-called social media experts per se, because of the fact that it changes on a daily basis. Very,
right.
very difficult keeping up. with what is going on. They have to be very careful and not spend a great deal of time on the social media channels, but to use them to facilitate meetings and getting out there and creating additional awareness and credibility for themselves.
I think that's very informational and helpful for them. Tell me a little bit about you and how you got to where you are today, really quickly.
Just an extensive career in business. And then I was downsized 4.5 years ago, almost 5 years ago now, and been reinventing myself ever since. Been actually doing more volunteer work than anything else. I run a career ministry at Holy Spirit Catholic Church. For the last four years plus, I've been speaking on using LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and Google for the job search. Have talked to thousands, I think, at this particular juncture with regard to that. Wrote a book with another gentleman based upon our experiences in that particular regard.
Well, we really appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I'm going to go over to Wendy. And I had your husband last week on the show, and he's with the AVLF. So we have tons of attorneys volunteering for that organization, that's for sure. Very successful. So let me go ahead and ask you, why do you call yourself a life changer, Wendy?
I am so committed to seeing people live differently so that they get different results in their life. And having lived with a lawyer for a long time, I am particularly interested in helping people in that field get control of their work, because most lawyers, their work controls them, and that becomes their life.
Mm-hmm.
And Marty was in it for a long time and didn't like that lifestyle. It wasn't a happy lifestyle for us as a family and is for him as an individual. And so I encouraged him to find his passion. And now he does what he loves more than anything in the world, as you know.
I could tell.
And he has totally control of his life and his day, and he has a life.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk to lawyers who work the way they do, the question is, what happens at the end of the day? Where is the end of the day? Do they have an end of the day?
Right.
I was listening really closely to what Jeff was saying about the LinkedIn situation, and you were asking him, you know, what's not working. I think the biggest struggle for attorneys is that they are being forced to live in a world they know nothing about, like most people. Mm-hmm. And I'm a great, for instance. I am incredibly organized, and I am wired in a way where I have a sense of order that really serves me well. But I don't know anything more about social media than half the lawyers in this town. And so the key is to do what you do well and to hire the people who do other things that you need in your business well, so that you have a combination of everything.
Right.
So, you know, attorneys are really, really good at what they do, but not necessarily have the skills to do the other things that are going to be, they're going to help get them, make them successful.
Right.
Which is getting organized and setting up systems that serve you well as social media. I just took a look at the profession and I realized these people are working hard. They're not working smart. And there is a way to do both.
Right. I've always heard the term or the saying, working in your business, not on your business.
Exactly.
So they're really good at working in their business, not necessarily at working on their business.
Right. And so to answer your question, honestly, people keep telling them I've changed their life.
Oh, good.
I've changed their life. I come in and I see disarray and I see disorganization and I see overwhelm and I see stress, and I get all that. I take all that away for them.
That's fantastic. I know you did that for me as well. I'm not an attorney, but you did help me tremendously when I worked with you last year. We live in a world that encourages chaos. So is quote unquote control even a reasonable goal?
Absolutely. Because here's the thing. I always tell people, you never get it all done. So stop trying. The reality of it is you never get it all done. The minute you think you've got it all done, you go to the bathroom and you come back and there's 17 more emails in your inbox, right? It's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. So the key is, all I want people to do is, number one, realize they don't get it all, they can never get it all done. And number two, just get control of it. And the key is getting control of it as it comes in.
Right.
If people would get control of their life as it comes in and make decisions with things as it comes in, they would never wind up having 8,000 emails in their inbox.
Yes, just the simple things like creating rules. I did that according to your book, so that when certain emails come in, I don't have to look at it right then and there.
Right. And I don't even create rules because I kind of like to tend to move things myself, so I have a little more control over them. But what I always tell people is this. Every day, take 2 20-minute sessions, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, to just process emails. Processing emails does not mean doing the work. It means putting those emails somewhere where you know they're going to be when you need them next. Hmm. And living them and having them live in the inbox is never an option.
Is that the same as papers on your desk?
Same as papers on the desk. Absolutely. You know, people say they're paperless. You know, when the mailman stops delivering paper to our email to our mailbox, we'll be a paperless world. But right. until then, there's paper in our life, particularly the legal profession.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Okay. So you say you're the Weight Watchers and smoke enders of getting organized. What does getting organized have to do with losing weight or quitting smoking?
This is a really good one, you guys. So listen to this. So the top three New Year's resolutions are lose weight, quit smoking, and get organized. Right?
Wow. Yeah.
So all three of them have one thing in common, and this is what will make or break anyone being successful in getting organized. And the really one most important thing that they all have in common is for losing weight and quitting smoking and getting organized, you got to want it bad enough. You got to want it bad enough. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to do any of those three. It's changing your habits. It's changing lifelong habits that you've had your entire forever. Mm-hmm. So I work with people who are so sick and tired of living within their clutter. They are so sick and tired of every day at the end of the day feeling defeated, not feeling like they got anything done, and they want it so bad they will do whatever it takes to change.
Which brings me to my next question. Why do you target attorneys?
Well, they have a very special place in my heart because I'm married to one. And I think really in the beginning of this business, which is almost 14 years now, I started working with attorneys and I saw how stressed out they were, overwhelmed they were. I've never met attorney that wasn't an attorney that quite frankly wasn't late for everything. And I realized, is that the way people want to present themselves in the world, much less the workplace?
Right.
When I talk to them, they don't, but they don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. And so if I can teach you how to run your day so that your day doesn't run you and you can make decisions early on in the day, and you can be really realistic about how long it takes to get things done. You can be early or particular. You can either be on time or early for every meeting. And there's a way different feeling about being early or on time to a meeting than there is to be late all the time.
Sure, sure. And your book is so practical. It's such an easy read. It's almost like a conversation.
It is, and it has to be easy because if I tried to teach Jeff something difficult, he wouldn't even set it up, much less stick with it long enough to reap the benefits. Mm-hmm. And you don't get the benefit overnight. You get the benefit over weeks.
Right.
So it's got to be easy.
So how long does it take the typical unorganized person to get with your program?
They say it takes 21 days for a habit to feel like to stick. My theory is this, just like Weight Watchers and Smoke Enders, both of which I've done many times in my life. Smoke Enders once, I'm glad to say, but Weight Watchers many times. You know, getting organized isn't just about cleaning up your clutter. Just like losing weight isn't about changing what you eat. Losing weight is about sleeping. It's about exercise. It's about changing what you eat. It's about cleaning out your pantry and getting bad stuff out of your house. There are lots of issues that relate to being disorganized. And so I start with one at a time and I get them to do that for the first week. You know, like for the first week, you're going to commit to not being late to anything. Just 1 week. You're going to focus on just that. That's going to start to feel really good. Mm-hmm. You're willing to keep doing it. Then all of a sudden, I'm going to throw something else in there, like you're going to start processing your emails 20 minutes, two times a day. That's going to start to feel good because I'm going to start you out by getting your email inbox to zero, if you can imagine that. And every day at the end of the day, my email inbox is at zero. Zero might stay there for 2 seconds, but it always sees zero. Wow. And slowly but surely, you're starting to change all these little habits that add up to being an organized person.
Mm-hmm. And being free.
Yeah. It makes such a difference. You know, I always tell people, you know, I'm 57, almost 58 years old, and I've collected a lot of stuff over these 58 years. Yeah. If I don't get rid of what I've collected, where am I going to put the next 30 years worth of stuff? It's not going to stop coming in.
Right. Right. And it's funny because Marty is your biggest client and biggest advocate, and he is. You can see him just absolutely loving what he does. So it's great to see that.
I always tell people it's one thing to love what you do. It's another to love the way you do it. And I can tell you there are so many attorneys out there that really, really are truly passionate about what they do, but don't know really that there's any other way to do it. And there's a much easier way to do it than the way they are now.
So people are so busy, as we've been saying today, especially attorneys. Who has the time to spend half a day getting organized?
Well, everybody says they don't have the time, but at some point you're going to realize that you can't afford not to take the time.
Right. What is the process, briefly?
Well, what I like to do first is have a strategy session with them and find out where their pain is, what's not working in their life. I'm a firm believer that if it's not broken, don't fix it. Mm-hmm. So if you honestly don't mind living out of an email inbox that has 8,000 emails, if that doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. But if you're dropping things through the cracks, if things are, you know, I look at an email inbox with 8,000 emails as one big fat black hole. And I want to know what's down there, all the way down there that you can't see that you could potentially have missed. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, when I sit through with clients who have 20,000 emails, I'm talking 20,000 emails in their inbox, and I sit with them and get them down to zero. You wouldn't believe how many times I hear the words, oh my God, I can't believe that's where that is.
Right.
Because I'm literally making them go through every one of them and sorting them and getting rid of and moving things. Mm-hmm. But it's the most freeing process you can imagine. So I basically start with a strategy session. I do three free 30-minute strategy sessions with anybody that wants one. Tell me where your pain is. Mm-hmm. Tell me if you really want this bad enough, because I will not work with someone that doesn't want it bad enough. It's way too hard for them and for me. It's like swimming upstream.
Gotcha. So is it daunting for them, or when you first meet with them?
It's daunting mainly because they, on some level, don't believe that they're capable of living any other way.
Right.
Because this is how they've lived their entire life. And they don't have to think about what they do. They just, this is their instinct to come back from a meeting, dump something on a pile, get in their email inbox, start answering questions, returning phone calls. And before you know it, this is 3 months of stacking things on a pile. Mm-hmm. And then I say to them, let me ask you a question. What's on that very, very bottom of the pile? Mm-hmm. Oh, I know where everything is. That's the famous line. I got to know where everything is in my piles. I know, but they don't need to be there.
Right.
So it's daunting at first, but I make it fun. And I am one of the most realistic human beings I know. And I don't make anybody wrong for the way they live. I'm just delighted that if I'm sitting in front of them, it's because they want to change and I want to help.
Right. And that's why you probably do the little sessions at a time. You just take a bite at a time and not eat the whole cake.
Some people, it's going to take a full week to work their space, but we'll do a half a day at a time or 2 hours at a time, whatever works for them. I know that everybody has a life. Lawyers can't just decide they're going to take off a day or two to work with me. I have been known to work weekends if I need to, whatever it's going to take. I am completely passionate and committed to changing the world one disorganized person at a time.
That's great. What is the reward in getting control of your stuff?
Well, the biggest reward, I think, is that when you close your, when you get in bed at night and you turn the light off, your head turns off, not on. Most people that get in bed, they turn the light off and their head turns on. And for 20 minutes, they're laying there thinking of all the things they have to do that they didn't do today. What could have dropped through the cracks? Oh my God, I forgot to do that. How do I write it down? I, as busy as I am, and I am traveling internationally now to speak all over the world, I go to bed every night and shut the light off and my head turns off. Not because I don't have anything to do, but because I have control of everything I have to do.
Mm-hmm. We might need a review session.
I'm here, you know.
Because that's what was happening to me last night. I had so much in my mind, I could not go to sleep. So what advice do you have for sustainability? Just like Weight Watchers, we fall off the wagon. How do we ensure this becomes a way of being?
Just keep doing the same little things every day. You know, we there are so many things that we do that we don't even think about. It's like I will ask in front of my crowd of 200 or 20, how many of you put your keys in the same place when you come into your house every day? Most people do. Crazy as it sounds. Okay.
Right.
And the ones that don't are always looking for them. So if you come home every day and you put your keys in the same place, they're always going to be there. I sort of liken that to the silverware drawer. Don't we all keep the forks in the same slot?
Yes.
Who taught us that?
Right.
It wasn't a rule book about how you set your kitchen up. Everybody keeps their forks in the same slot and their knives and all the silverware is in the same drawer. So doesn't it make it so easy for us that when we want to go set the table, we know where it is? Mm-hmm. And we all are conditioned to empty the dishwasher and put the forks in the same slot? So when it comes to certain places in our life, we do these things that make it easy for us. But in other places, not a thought.
Right. And it's a lot of times because they're in a hurry so much.
they haven't been trained. You might have grown up in a home where you don't have organized parents, and so everything was all over the place, and you wound up taking those skills with you in life. These are learned skills. Mm-hmm. I was not born this way. I learned this.
Right. What are three tips you can share to get people started now for getting rid of the clutter in their lives?
Okay. The first one is do what I refer to as the three-box process. Okay? So you're going to get three boxes. Box number one, garbage. Toss, trash, whatever. Going away. Number two, recycle. Recycle means you're donating it to somebody. You're putting it in a recycle bin. You're putting it in a gift drawer to reuse. It's not staying within you. And then the third one is, when you make decisions about what you're going to keep, here are the two criteria.
Okay.
Need and love. Take like out of the equation, because we all like everything. That's what gets us in trouble. I need it or I love it. And you'll get rid of a ton of more stuff than you can ever imagine. More stuff's coming in, remember.
Right.
We're never short of stuff.
Stop storing it.
Yep. Yep.
So how can our listeners learn more about the application of your systems and processes?
Really easy, WendyEllen.com. It's about as easy as it gets. Ellin is the last name, WendyEllin.com. And or you can email me at Wendy@WendyEllen.com, either one.
Okay, well, we have a couple people in the studio that would like to ask Jeff and Wendy some questions as well.
Rich Kasten over here, the producer. I thought I'd just jump in. And if you all have some questions, I thought that'd be interesting. Great topics here this morning. I was making some notes, Wendy. What was box number one again for?
Box number one is get rid of. Okay. Completely get rid of. Toss, trash.
And I love box number three with either need it, love it, or you don't like it or whatever, right?
Well, you need it. We all like everything, yeah. Particularly women. Women, that like gets us in trouble. Right. We like it, we keep it. We like it, we like it, we like it, we keep it.
Star's just on the edge right there to jump in. What do you think, Star?
I definitely think I'm a like it.
You're a liker.
Yes. Right. I just want to borrow you for a week and take right. you with
you
me.
Got
How much do you cost?
Exactly. You got to remember, we like everything. So keep need and love. Need and love, need and love. I need it. I got to hold on to it. Lawyers need to keep a lot of stuff and love.
So what this does imply, you don't have a box for family and friends, right? I love you. But you know, it's time to go, right?
Yeah.
Right. So,
because you know, this is just like your closet.
Yeah.
Think about it. We wear the clothes we love.
Well, and speaking of that, I had a friend, I don't know if this is, if you're preaching a minimalist lifestyle, whatever, but I ran across a couple and their mantra was, or at least his was, I don't know if it was his choice or his wife's, but it was, if someone gave him a shirt, he couldn't put that in the closet until he got rid of one shirt.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I have shoes that live in a slot, and
right.
there's 30 of them.
Yeah.
And when the shoes run out, that's not including flip-flops that live in a basket, and it's not including boots that don't fit in the slots. I'm just saying. But my shoes, I only have 30 pairs.
Wow. This reminds me of the George Carlin bit, right, that he did years ago on stuff. Everybody has their stuff at their house. They go on vacation. They take some of their stuff with them, right? Then when they get to the hotel, when they leave to go out for an excursion, they take a little bit more of their stuff, just little parcels, right? Yeah.
I was going to ask you, do you use Evernote?
I do use Evernote. Yep. And there's lots of little tools, and everybody's tools are different. So I highly recommend that whatever tools work for you, you use. Mm-hmm. There are people that are way more electronic than they are physical. I'm a mixture of both. And I travel, so I have to have a system for when I'm not in front of my office. But when I'm in my office, I do take some paper. I printed this out. I printed this email out that Julie sent me, and I just stuck it in my system. I have what I call a Command Central system, which is really a fabulous tool that you can learn about if you read
Sounds
my book.
Scary.
No, it's really pretty easy. Is it easy, Julie?
Yes.
Emily,
I'm sorry.
Your sister.
Right. So there are some things I print out to remind myself. And the other thing, but here's the cool thing. The system that I teach, no more to-do lists. I don't have a list at all.
Really?
Ever. I think big to-do lists completely stress people out. It is the biggest waste of time ever, because all you keep doing is rewriting the same list day after day after day after day. It makes me crazy.
I saw a thing on LinkedIn that says create a not to-do list.
Right.
I didn't read the rest of the article, but I thought that was a great headline.
Nope. I don't. The only list I ever have is a grocery list on a little sticky.
Yeah.
That's it.
Wow.
So what was the most challenging assignment you had with an attorney?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Without mentioning names, whatever. Yes,
yeah, of course, obviously.
And Marty, in case Marty's listening,
Yes.
The amount of paper that this one attorney had was overwhelming, really, really overwhelming. And the amount of, I think, in this particular case, it was paper and stuff combined with overcommitting, completely overcommitting. I am such an undercommit and overdeliver person. It's the way I think. It's the way I live. I don't know how to do anything else. If somebody ever asks me for something, I always tell them they're going to get it next Monday, and they always get it Friday.
Huh.
Always. I set them up for not, I don't set people up for failure. I tell you you're going to get it Monday. It takes the pressure off of me. I always get it to them Friday. People always know when they ask me for something, they're always going to get it before I tell them they are. And that will make a difference in your life. And nobody wants to work with somebody who is constantly calling to say, where is the thing you promised me?
What if they ask you on Sunday?
If they ask me on Sunday, they're getting it a week from Monday.
Right, yeah. on a serious note, I think there's an interesting exchange here with Jeff, hearing what Wendy's talking about. What would you advise your people, folks you speak to, about the top, you know, three things they could do each day to kind of leverage their social media?
Well, first of all, if you look at LinkedIn, immediately when you start connecting with people, tag them within LinkedIn itself. So, and identify how you know them. For instance, if anyone connects as a result of this meeting today, I would suggest saying Business Radio X is a tag, so that you can actually identify where you met them, and you can use that for mailing list purposes as well. Mm-hmm. Also, take that individual you connect with and put them into Google, because of the fact that LinkedIn has limited CRM capabilities. Google has more from a standpoint. Also, the fact is you can use some of the things you've organized within Google itself for email marketing, I wouldn't call them blasts, but just activities, okay?
Right.
So that's very, very important. Also, if you're in Twitter, immediately start putting people into lists from the get-go, because of the fact that it's the only way that you can clearly identify who the particular contacts are and where you met, what geographical locations they are, what particular interest areas they're in, the importance, whether they're influences or whatever within that. So if you identify those individuals within lists, it's going to make your activities in social media, particularly Twitter, a lot easier.
So can you tweet to those certain lists?
No, you can't. But the thing is, it's just a good way of going, looking at the list and looking at the tweets that those people are putting out. It just makes it a lot easier if you can identify them as such.
Kind of breaks it down.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, right. Well, I have one more question for you, Wendy, which I talked about in the beginning of the show. One of the things in your book that I read that was eye-opening, that just stuck with me was, I mean, everybody today is so busy and they're all multitasking, and it's like the cool new thing to do. And it's, you're supposedly getting so much more done because you're multitasking. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, let's change the word to switch tasking. That's really what the word is all about. It's really not multitasking. Multitasking is walking on a treadmill and listening to music at the same time, which is easy to do because you're not using the same part of your brain for both of those functions,
right?
But when you are on the telephone, and if you are in front of your computer and you're typing up an email and the phone rings and you're trying to continue to type that email while you're talking on the phone, it's impossible to do.
Mm-hmm.
Either your email is not going to make sense or your conversation is not going to make sense. It's absolutely impossible to do that. So what happens is I'm sitting in my computer and I'm typing. I'm in my office, let's say, and I'm typing on my computer, and all of a sudden the phone rings and I stop what I'm doing. I answer the phone. This person's asking me to do something for them. I take a little piece of paper. I write it down. While I'm on the phone writing that down, somebody walks down the hall, stops at my door, stares and looks at me, isn't going to leave until I give them my attention. And then all of a sudden there's a little pop-up alert on my computer for someone that just wants something else. And before you know it, all you're doing is switch tasking from one to the other, but nothing's getting done.
Mm-hmm.
So my suggestion is, and here's the way I came up with this rule, is it's what I call the 96-minute rule. I'm a very big believer in the 80-20 rule, which is 80% of our clients, our income comes from 20% of our clients, right? I've been in sales my entire life as well. 80% of our outfits come from 20% of our closet. That's a no-brainer, right? So 80% of the work that gets done that really matters in your day is getting done in 20% of your day, of the stuff that really matters.
Sure.
And I will tell you that years ago, I won't mention the name, but I asked a very big law firm downtown if I could wander around their offices for the day. And I wanted to see how people were using their time. I hung out in the hallway. I hung out in the bathroom. I hung out in the kitchen. I walked all day long, and I was amazed at how people use their time or abuse their time.
Right.
When people tell me they don't have enough time in their day, I laugh.
We all have the same amount of time.
We all have the same amount of time. And if you were really to look at, if you were to take note every single day of how you use that time, you would be amazed because you do have enough time. However, let's go back to this. If the most important part of my, if the most important work that I'm getting done every day is only being done within 20% of my day, 20% of an average workday is 96 minutes. So I tell my clients, get into your office, slap the number 96 on a little sticky note, stick it on your door, shut your door, don't answer your phone, don't answer your email, and for 96 minutes straight, just do whatever it is you're working on. And if, at the end of that 96-minute session, you could actually consider yourself productive for the day. And then I say to them, how about if you did a 96-minute session in the morning and one in the afternoon? Can you imagine how powerful your day would be?
Right.
And I have clients doing it all over the country.
That's awesome. Because, I mean, you're only doing, when you're multitasking, you're only doing a little bit of everything.
Right.
Instead of 100%.
So you have 12 projects open, nothing got closure.
Right.
So at the end of the day, you were very busy, but you weren't necessarily productive.
And the lights may go out, but not the lights in your brain.
No way.
That's awesome. Wonderful. Well, I guess that wraps it up for our show today. Thank you again. This is Emily Rowell with attorneyofficespace.com signing out. We'll be right back.